Hi everyone, this is the 8th episode of the second season of the Pedal Podcast, and this coming episode will conclude this doubleheader of the week. And I had the privilege to talk to Ryan Stavely and Jeffrey Fury, who's doing a really, really exciting project. They just came up with a brand called Novor, which you might have came across in the UK. They're UK-based, and they're basically two best friends who share the passion for pedal and this vision to make a mark in the sport. They sat next to each other at uni in the same classes, and they shared a flat in university, and they were just talking about it, fostering this entrepreneurial spirit. They launched London's first pedal racket brand, which is the Novor. I asked them about the name. They didn't really say a lot about the name itself. But anyway, it is a good sounding name. It is a good sounding product. They came out with a racket. And they have realized that they have to be focusing on the grassroots first before doing anything else. They're working on the second racket type, which they talk about on the podcast. It has been a really interesting chat to how they came out with the idea. And obviously, they are planning just to be here and to stay and to be successful. And obviously, they're building up the brand accordingly. It is a really, really interesting project, I have to say. It is not the easiest one to blend in into Spanish-dominant, Swedish-dominant atmosphere. But here they are. They're doing really well. Lovely two chaps, really good chat. And they have just realized that there might be a niche on the market. So that's what they're trying to fulfill. Please do have a listen. I think it has been a really good run in the last few episodes, and I feel like we are basically trying to do as much as we can for pedal. So please do have a listen. Let us know how you like that. Please do follow these guys on social media as well, because Novor is now making waves. I'm going to see them this week in Bristol because they're coming here for the Grade 2. And hopefully I will be playing quite a few matches as well, and I'm going to try their racket. But please do have a listen. And as I say, you know, if you would give me a subscribe, a follow, ratings here and there and everywhere, it would be really, really appreciated. But yeah, thank you very much and take care. Hi, everyone. This is the second season's 8th episode of the Pedal Podcast. And I've got two great guys with me who will tell us a lot about how to open a brand, how to establish a brand, how to come up with something totally new. I've got Jeff and Ryan with me from Novor, if I'm pronouncing the brand correctly.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you. And yeah, how are you guys doing? Thank you very much for accepting my invite. It's quite late today. Usually I do it during the day, but I know that you're working like full time. So, you know, obviously it's quite hard for you guys to find the time. But yeah, so how are you guys doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Feels like it's been a bit of a long time coming. We've been speaking for a while now. So yeah, excited to be here and finally chatting about it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Likewise. We always listen to your podcast as well, really enjoy them. So it's actually quite a cool thing to get to be on it as well.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, guys. So we're going to be talking about mostly Novor, which is a new racket brand, or like how they say pedal bat brand. I like to call them rackets because I think there's a lot of technology behind that, and I want to get into the bottom of it on how you came up with the idea, why pedal in the first place, and we'll hear about it. So first of all, first question all the time: how did you both get into pedal?
Yeah, so we got into pedal about 8 months ago now, and we've both been sports addicts our whole life. We've played everything you can think of, from rugby at uni together, football, tennis, badminton, squash, the whole lot. And so when we came across pedal a good while ago now, it was just before it kind of started blowing up in the UK. And we thought we have to give that a try. And we'd seen sports players and celebrities getting involved, and we thought we'll have to give that a try ourselves. It's another sport. Let's give it a shot. And we got in. And we were pretty much addicted straight away. I think with the easy learning curve, and we've had a bit of racket sports experience in the past, and the competitive element, how fast-paced it is, we were just hooked straight away.
Yeah, and I think to add to that as well, I mean, it was also started like in the middle of summer, so the weather was great, and we really sort of enjoyed the social side of it. So afterwards, like, oh, let's get a drink, let's relax. Like, I think that whole experience of paddle in general is really made us get to that sort of level of like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was joking about it a couple of episodes ago that I don't really think that on a windy, cold, rainy day in Stoke anyone would really like to get into paddle. But
Yeah.
when the weather is nice and obviously there's a bit of a summer breeze and you've got the pints in your mind during when you play, then it's a lot easier to actually get into it. I actually got into it when it was quite late autumn, and it was a funny one because because of my tennis, I've got a quite strong tennis background, and for me it was quite good to get a new sport because tennis in the UK during the winter is a pain in the bum. It really is. It's not easy to play. The balls are really heavy. It causes some sort of tennis elbow, and it's just not fun. And the good news about paddle is that mostly you've got the canopies, or it's played indoors. So it's still a lot more accessible than indoor tennis, which is kind of a weird thing. But if you want to play tennis in the UK, you might need to sign up for David Lloyd's for like 150 quid a month, and who can afford it, right? So
Yeah.
you just sort of had like first of all, where are you based?
We're so our offices are in London, and then where we live with our parents, just at home in Surrey.
Okay.
If you
And
know
where?
Surrey.
Yeah. And where did you first play paddle?
In Surrey. So about 5 minutes from where we live, we've got a court from us. But the whole time that we were at uni down in Bournemouth, we didn't actually realize that our local tennis club had paddle courts that were built during COVID. And then it took us doing a bit of research once we understood a bit about the game, and we went, there's no way there's paddle courts there. So we went and played them, and that's still where we play locally now each week.
It's getting to be a lot more accessible
Yeah.
everywhere. I mean, obviously London is now getting treated with quite a few courts as obviously Patium opened and now Rocket Paddle is opening I think at least 12 courts in Ilford, so that will be quite fun. So there's a lot going on in London, which is great to see. Okay, and let's you sort of mentioned your sports background, so I sent you the question, but did you actually play sports on a fairly high level, or was it sort of like an amateur level during COVID, sorry, during university, or how did you actually become that sporty?
I mean, me personally, I think probably through my family. My dad was always a very sporty person, so I mean, I personally got into rugby and golf at a young age, which ended up playing for county for both rugby and golf. And I still play squash with my dad, a couple of times a week, as well as the paddle. And then obviously in school, just doing every sort of after school sports club at uni and all the rest. So I've just always loved it. I've always been more of an outdoorsy kid than sort of a, your normal Xbox gamer, as the modern generation does. But so yeah, I think it's just because from the family roots, helped us. I think I speak for Ryan as well, who
Yeah.
also was got his own sports background. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess a very similar story with me. So, I didn't really start with rugby. I started with more football. But similarly, my dad grew up playing all the sports. So did my brother. But as much as we love to play the sports, we also watch it as well. We spend half of our time drinking a few beers and watching the rugby, watching the Six Nations, the World Cup if it's on. So yeah, we've kind of just really tried to get into a market where we can express our passion, not only for business but also for sport. So that's what I think that we've done quite well.
Yeah, I mean, I will get into Nova in a bit. I just want the listeners to know you guys first of all, before we actually get into the brand itself. Do you watch the professional paddle? So do you watch the Premier paddle?
We haven't watched it too much, in all fairness. We were looking forward to watching the Hexagon Cup when it got the television rights, but conveniently it was timed when we were both away skiing. So we didn't actually get to watch that from France. But we do stay up to date. We see like the typical YouTube videos, and we've got a couple of our favorite players. And when we go to these tournaments, which I'm sure you've seen all over our Instagrams, we've got our favorite players that we like to support. But in terms of the World Padel Tour, we're not avid followers of the game.
Yeah, but I think the fact now, because we're so invested in Padel, we follow everything on social media. I mean, I feel like we watch it, but not live, if that makes sense. Like, we always can see everything, see all the cool highlight reels, the cool trick shots from all the professional players. But yeah, I think because it's not quite as accessible on British television now, anyways, we can only sort of watch it as and when we can.
It's kind of a weird one because it used to be on BT Sports now, TNT Sports, and last year somehow it hasn't appeared. So it was in 2022 when it was actually shown. And what's really weird is that now it's fairly accessible because now it's on YouTube live with English commentary as well. So it's quite accessible, but I mean, obviously, it would be a lot nicer to be broadcasted on TV, and at the moment, somehow it's still we're talking about such a niche thing still. We do live, eat, breathe paddle, so for us it's different because I do follow obviously the main tour. I know all the players. I have quite sort of like inner information about what's happening. The new pairs, and I do quite a bit in Hungarian as well. So that's how it is. But yeah. So who do you support? Who's your favorite players?
Well, I think we've sort of both came to the conclusion because so when we were first like looking to paddle, we visited a lot of different locations just to like meet, obviously meet people, watch the games, and we actually watched the FIP Tour in Stratford Paddle. I think it was in October, November last year. And we stayed there for the final day, and we watched the final, and the two finalists, who's Miguel and Nuno Deus. I'm probably butchering their pronunciation, so I apologize for that. But yeah, they're two Portuguese players, and they're just phenomenal. And we've been following sort of them and their story and the tournaments they've been playing since then. Because yeah, you've got your big names, but I feel like we've made our first sort of real paddle like professional connection with them. And yeah, we really enjoyed the way they play and their sort of camaraderie between each other as well.
But also, I think like Tapia is obviously just amazing to follow. Him and Kauai is amazing. LeBron, you can't discount him either. Although I'm interested to see how it goes now that they've just split their pairing, right? So excited to see what happens in the future with him. But there's so many players out there. So yeah, it's exciting to watch for sure.
Yeah, I mean now LeBron will be playing with Paquito, so
I know.
that will be a great pairing, and obviously Galan and Chingotto will be another one, which is yeah, it's exciting. I mean we're talking about guys who instantly became from the world number one pairing. Now they're gonna be 2 and 3 seeds, I think, in the world, because Kauai and Tapia will be number one seeds, but Chingo and Galan will be two, and Paquito and LeBron will be number three. Although their points are really, really close to each other, it might be Paquito might be in front because they had a semi-final in the last major in Qatar, so with Sanyo Gutierrez, so that might be different. So okay, let's talk about Novor. How did the business idea came about? How did you guys actually think that this is something which you need to do? Because I if you've been listening to the podcast and you said that you were, I didn't say that I doubt you guys. It's just that it's such a tough market. Like I've been in tennis for like, I don't know, 30 plus years. I know the retail part of it. I used to work in Wigmore Sports. I used to be the brand manager of Head Tennis back home. So I know how it is. Even for the biggest brands in the world, now you can see the trend of like Varlion giving back their sponsored players, Starvike giving back their sponsored players, and here you guys are coming up with a new brand, with a new idea. Why did you do this?
Yeah. So I mean, everything, like if we're gonna push right back to the start, because it'll be a bit of a long story to explain. But originally, so me and Jeff went to school together. We ironically sat next to each other in business studies class. We then ended up both going to the same university. We studied together and we lived together for 3 years. And throughout the whole time we were there, we were talking about the enterprise that one day we wanted to push, we wanted to own and grow from the ground. And then when we did come across Paddle those 6, 7, 8 months ago, we really did see an opportunity, not just because the sport's growing, but because one of the main issues that we were faced with when we first got into it was getting a racket. While usually you would start at like quite an entry level, we're both matured sportsmen, I guess. So we picked the game up quicker than the average person. And we didn't want to start with just a beginner racket. We kind of wanted like a middle range one. And to get a middle range racket, which suited the type of play that we liked, for under £200, we just couldn't find one. And with that, we thought there was an opportunity to really hit the market. And we also thought that with our young and I guess stylish flair that we have from our creativity and our branding and marketing backgrounds, we thought that we could really make something stand out. So that was kind of the idea behind how we started. And then as we've developed and matured as a brand through research and development, personally and through the business, we've kind of found our niche. And I think that is not only trying to provide an entry level, an intermediate racket and at an entry level price, we're really trying to push the accessibility of the game. That's something that I think the game is struggling with a lot at the moment. A lot of people want to play paddle, and the craze is definitely happening, but it's not really possible because either courts, there's not enough courts, the courts that are available are memberships only, or they're too expensive. So I think looking at other sports, that's where we're lucky because we play quite a few sports. We've kind of had a look at those and we've gone, right, how have these sports worked? And I think a lot of sports that have been very successful have really pushed participation from a grassroots level. So what we're doing at the moment, our stance and our business model is really targeting local tournaments all around us, trying to support people that are just starting with paddle, whether those are tournaments or whether they're like socials run by the same organizers. We're really trying to sponsor those, push those, and get to people upon their entry, because we do recognize that getting into a market like this is always going to be difficult with your big the household names. But if we're hitting people as soon as they get into paddle, then they and they don't recognize us as a household name, that's fine because it's a brand new sport. And for that reason, I think that's the reason behind the success that we're having so far. And we've had a really positive launch. So yeah, there's a rough overview. I don't know if you can add to that, Jeff.
No, I mean, you've covered everything pretty well. I mean, I think one of the other main things was that, there's not many big UK paddle brands, which was another thing we noticed. Like, well, it's so big everywhere else in Europe at the moment, in Spain, Italy, Portugal, Netherlands, and we could see it is growing here. So we thought that, we also want to create a proudly British brand, from London, and build it from the ground up there as well, and try and stand out in the paddle world.
And where does the name come from?
Yeah, it's a difficult question
Good
to
question.
ask. We actually went through a few different names as we started, which we had to cross them off once we purchased the domain and started registering our companies because there were conflictions that didn't work out. But we ended up coming up with Novor. It just kind of came out as we were coming up with names, and we
Yeah.
loved it. And we discussed it with friends and family, and everyone went, Novor sounds amazing. So that's where Novel came from. It didn't really come from any place in particular.
We would love to say there's some elaborate cool story about,
Yeah.
it means some ancient Greek
Yeah.
cool thing, but no, it's just something, we put together basically, and yeah, it sounded good, sounded nice off the tongue. It's, one easy word to remember.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we thought, let's stick with that.
And it looks good on the racket.
Yeah, I mean, I know a little bit of backstory about how we came about. You obviously reached out to me a few months ago, and you wanted to present the brand back then, and I said, sure. I mean, I never really thought about like maybe not doing it because I know that you've been a startup brand, and it's quite an exciting story about like how you actually came about. But then Ryan, you said that it might be a little bit too early for that, and I absolutely appreciated it. So, that was a lot nicer that now you've got the rackets behind you. It's not just the concept, it's actually the end product which you have, and it's great. And I know that now you're doing sponsorship. I've seen that you're doing the UK tournaments, and obviously you're sponsoring as much as you can. You want to be fairly conscious about that decision as well. So, I do appreciate that this is startup business. So, with that in mind, we're not talking about a gold pedal or I don't know, an Adidas or a Babolat. And it was quite interesting because I mentioned to you guys off air that I had a Swedish entrepreneur on the show just before you, and he was saying that like obviously Sweden is the second biggest market in pretty much the world at the moment with their 7,000 courts, and they have so many pop-up brands and so many brands which are coming up with just local stuff, and you don't really see that in the UK. The only one which I can think of is Cork, which is obviously Portuguese in a way, but Max Evans is the owner, and he's an ex rugby professional, and they came up with a really, really special idea. So what is your niche apart from being an intermediate racket for like sort of an entry level price? Why do people need to buy Novor?
Yeah, so basically, we wanted to do something slightly different. So we chose the EVA 20 foam core because working with our manufacturers, doing all the research and development, one of the main things we found when testing every different type of racket from different provider manufacturers, sorry, is a lot of them are getting a lot of noise complaints for, whether it's councils, neighbors, everything. It's a loud sport. The 20 EVA is actually the quietest. So we chose that for to sort of make that more of a niche, which is a big problem because I mean our local courts at the moment are currently having struggling to get the next planning permission to extend more paddle courts because of such a thing. And obviously we've gone for the medium high balance, which is more suited for the power play rather than spin. I mean our main niche was again not just to do with the racket but the brand itself and what it can bring to add to UK Paddle. Again, as you mentioned, by us sponsoring the UK Paddle tournaments and working with all these collaborators, we eventually want to be hosting our own tournaments all across the UK. Bring more people to the sport, more people to bring people together, bring the social side out of it, as well as work with charities to make it accessible for all. And we already are currently in talks with, but we're working with a couple of charities for hosting our own events with them as well.
And I think from a lot of the feedback that we've got, there's quite a unique balance to the racket. I know I mentioned slight tangent that we're coming to Bristol next week. So if we are down there and you're around, we'd love you to test the racket. But some of the feedback that we do get is that the balance is quite unique compared to most rackets in the same kind of category. So your beginner racket, you're going to have a super low balance. It's normally a round shape because you want it to be as forgiving as possible, really. And then the other extreme is super head high balance, and that's usually on those Pro-Line rackets. So as Jeff mentioned, our balance is slightly above medium, targeted towards those powerful players. But with that, we're at a medium price point. So what a lot of people are finding is that they're surprised by the power within the racket, even though we're ranged at 360 grams, it's able to generate so much power out of the head of the racket, even though it's in an average price point, which it's just a bit unique in that sense because not many brands are doing essentially the same things that are in the weight distribution. So, yeah, it'd be great if you could try that out, and that's pretty much the feedback that we're getting.
I would love to. I would love to. I'll be around. So yeah, we'll stay in touch, and definitely I'll. Which court are you coming? Is it Rocket?
Rocket
Rocket,
Paddle, yeah,
yeah.
So we're sponsoring a tournament with Paddle Tournaments UK. So we've got a grade two down there on the 23rd and 4th of March. So it'd be great to have you there along with any spectators. It'd be great to have down there.
I'm
Sounds
playing.
like.
I'm playing.
Oh, really? Oh, great. Yeah, there you
Yeah.
go. See you next week then. Yeah, should be good.
I'm playing the tournament next week, so I'm gonna be with my usual partner, and we're not gonna win it for sure, but we're
Never say never.
hoping to. Yeah, you never know, do you? I'm just fat, old, and stupid.
Yeah,
But apart from that fact, I think we've got a chance to win a few matches. I've got a really good partner, and we've got a great partnership. We almost won a grade three slash grade five. We signed up for a grade three. We got to the final, and they degraded it to a grade five. So it was brilliant. But nonetheless, it was a great experience. So you know, we are definitely a sort of a grade three team. And I'm hoping that obviously a grade two will be good fun. And I will try the racket then. So what carbon are you using for the outer layer?
Yeah, so we are slightly above so your ranges of carbon, you've got obviously your 6K, 12K, 3K, blah, 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 blah. You've got your carbon fiber just below that. And so we're priced. We're straight in just above 1K, which isn't a typical measurement, but it's 100% carbon fiber. So we're just below 3K, just above 1K.
Okay, I
So
get
the
you.
construction of the weave.
And where do you make the rackets? So where are they actually put together?
Yeah, so they're produced in a factory in China, which originally we weren't too sure on using the Chinese. We looked at a few different manufacturers. There's one, but two actually based in Barcelona and a few in China that we were in talks with. And we went and we had some virtual tours. We didn't fly up to China, but we had these virtual tours. We met all the team. And we were co fully confident in the manufacturer that we chose, mainly because there's a lot of other big name brands manufactured in the same factory that we can't obviously mention. But it also gave us that social proof, and the full confidence once that we tested all the samples from each of the suppliers as well, and really set in stone that final decision. But they've been great. They've been super helpful. The communication's really good. Yeah, we'd like to get out there soon, and yeah, they're a really cool company.
Yeah, I know. And I think as well, just to add to that, I mean, we got, many different types of samples and tested a lot of different suppliers. And we really found that these guys, from everything head to toe, were the most professional, gave us real confidence in working with them. And so far, everything we've done from head to toe of the racket, which they've obviously helped us with all the composition, everything, the design, everything to do with the racket is all our doing. And they've just executed it really well for us. So yeah, super, super happy with current manufacturing.
It's great to hear because obviously a lot of people are just saying that Chinese rackets are, I mean, obviously we're talking about the biggest brands in the world, like Bull Paddle and Babolat, and they're not making their rackets in Spain, are they? So
No.
it's an interesting one because I use Spanish made rackets. I use Dvarlian and I use Siux now. So for me it's I don't have anything against China. I have to say that, I think it's a brilliant thing that they do actually know the lingo, what we are speaking in the Western world about, like gear. And now if I have to say the tennis example again, all the pro stock rackets are made in China. So it's obviously customized in Europe or in the States. It depends on the factory itself. Like Wilson is customized in the States, and Babolat and Head are made in Europe, or like customized in Europe. So it's there is this misconception about the Chinese factories that, oh, they're a lot lesser quality and whatnot. It's not true. It's not true. So I can
No, it
100% see that.
yeah, no, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, we had our doubts as well when we were trying to find a manufacturer after coming up with the idea of Noble. But yeah, again, going through all the relevant testing, I mean, we like to think we're very critical with our quality control. and we've done several different ones now, and they've been super consistent every single time. Yeah, we have regular calls with them. They provide constant updates. So yeah, I feel like the stereotype of, oh, it's like mass produced in China, so it's not going to be as good as something that is potentially made in Spain, Portugal, or something. I feel like yeah, it is a stereotype for a reason, and it's not always entirely true. And yeah, we've got full confidence in manufacturing. Sorry.
We're also going through development at the moment for our next model, we must say the communications has been amazing, and we have no limits. Everything that we've wanted to try, they've been able to produce, and it's been a really exciting experience for us because it means that we can push the boundaries even more than what we have so far. So adding to our journey, it's been great, and we haven't had any limitations as a result of it. So we're more than happy to continue with it, and we're not looking to move our production currently. So yeah, really happy with it.
No, great to hear. Again, as I say, it's always good to hear that, a startup company is happy with the production, and I think China is definitely a way to go. About the brand and the vision, are you, because you now said, I guess that will be a higher range racket, what you're testing now, what you want to come up with. Is it just one racket, or you might be bringing a few more? What's the plan with that? Also, what about clothing? What about shoes? Is there plans for that, or how do you want to go about that?
Yeah, no, exactly that. So the reason we only started with the one paddle and the one product to start with is because, from looking at other, not just paddle racket brands, but other paddle retailers and stuff, is we don't want to make that mistake of overstocking, oversaturating our own sort of website with products. We thought that, let's take the first 6 7 months, continuously work with the manufacturers and get the first product right, so we have full confidence that if we sell it, we know it's gonna, get that edge and get that good feedback we want. And then from there, go on to the next and next and next, and add and add and add. And yes, we are obviously in the current development stages of the next racket. But apart from the racket, we're currently looking at manufacturing as well our own paddle racket protectors, grips, apparel, potentially some paddle racket bags as well. All in the line, down the line within the next year or so. So yeah, we wanted to get it right with the racket first, and then build on that as a foundation.
Yeah. And speaking from experience, so I work in digital marketing as well. So I work with loads of different companies, whether they're e-commerce brands, or service businesses. I see a lot of companies just flood the market with their products and services, trying to do as many things as they can, to be as broad of a company as they can. And instead of pushing something which is really great, they just get a lot of things wrong. And that was something that we really didn't want to make that mistake. So we've started with the one racket, and we are entirely confident in our product. And we'll do the same with our next one. Our next product, we're not going to launch it just because currently we only have one racket and we want to have more stock. We want to have more of a product portfolio. We're not going to do that. We're just going to make sure that we get it right, and stick to our morals and our brand principles, really.
Yeah, no, I get that. And look, I wanted to say there's no right or wrong. Possibly there's a lot of risk. You're taking a lot of risk, and I do see that point that you wanted to focus on one thing first. You wanted to make that right, and then you can expand. You can see how that goes. Do you retail it as well, or only just selling it through your website? Or are you planning to like maybe push it to a few bigger websites, like, I don't know, Paddle Shack or Paddle Point or these guys?
Yeah, no, so we currently do sell through our socials on Instagram, on Amazon, and obviously the website as well. And we currently do have some in retail at the Paddle United Waltham Abbey location up in Essex. But yeah, we're definitely in currently in talks with trying to get it on a few different online retailers as well, to sort of boost the brand awareness out there and try and spread it.
What's the recommended retail price of the racket?
119.99. So yeah, we're hitting it at a pretty reasonable price point. And yeah, we'd love to penetrate retail when the opportunity is right. I think at the moment the market is pretty flooded in terms of stock levels. It's something that we've noticed from speaking to retailers. I think the sport needs to develop a little bit, whether that means just from going from winter to spring to summer, and then the market will even out, or whether the game needs to grow a little bit more. But I mean, we've got that to find out in the next couple of months, right?
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, we're turning into better weather, so that's definitely going to help in the long term. Do you have any international plans, or you're obviously focusing? So how does your it's almost like an interview, but we are having an interview. But you know what I mean. So it's like, how's your 2, 5, and 10 year plan is looking like?
Yeah. So you mentioned international there, and you've got me excited because we would love to push internationally. We're already talking about going out to Malaga, out to Barcelona, doing as much as we can out there. But then also at the same time trying to keep our feet on the ground because we've got so many cool ideas and we love to penetrate so many different markets. But kind of like what our like morals are and what we've said from the beginning, we want to get right what we're doing first. So really looking to hit this UK market. And with the international plans, we need to remember the fact that we're really trying to push accessibility of paddle in the UK. So while we would love to go elsewhere, we don't want to also look like we're just abandoning the UK and the original plans that we've had, because we do really want to grow the sport because we love the sport and we want everyone to be playing as much as we can. And honestly, we want there to be more courts so we can play in more places. So growing the sport at the moment is the way forward. But let's say 5 years on from now, we'd love to see a more developed and rife paddle market in the UK. And then we'd love to push internationally as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we're definitely within the next 2 years, the sort of, I mean, again, as you mentioned, our main focus now is the UK, but the first sort of integration we would take internationally is, I mean, I myself used to work quite a lot on Amazon FBA, so Fulfilled by Amazon, which is something we can literally do from our bedrooms. It's super easy. So we can make our rackets accessible anywhere in Europe, but we're not doing that just yet, you know, from a growth perspective, we want to build on the UK first. So when we do sort of use Amazon to go into those markets, then it's got a good chance of getting the good reviews and coming back with sales.
Good, good. Are you planning on coming to the summit in Malaga in May?
We would absolutely love to. That would be amazing. We haven't got anything planned fully yet. So we'll have to play it by ear, but we'd love to do that, yeah.
Now, because that will be a great expo, and yeah, I mean, I cannot talk about it enough. And to be fair, it's going to be a really exciting B2B event, which hasn't happened really for the English speaking communities yet. So it's something which excites me deeply as well. So I have to say that. Did you actually give out the racket to some testers? Because I know that usually that happens in the Spanish speaking communities. So like, you know, in Spain, you've got a lot of, or like Italian testers and influencers or whatever they're called nowadays. And are you planning to do that? Because I'm just asking partly because actually it looks like next week I will get two new look rackets, and I cannot wait to try them. But also, are you planning to do something like that so that there will be an opinion out there or a
Yeah,
few?
absolutely. We're super lucky at the moment at the club that we play at to have a community that's really getting behind us. So we've had loads of people test our racket from there. And then another reason for the tournaments and everything that we're doing, the socials, is that everybody gets to try out our rackets, gets to test it, and get to have a bit of a feel for the rackets. And you'll see in a couple of weeks down in Bristol that we're going to have a court hopefully just for the testing of the racket, so everyone's going to get to try it. And we're also looking to hit the new clubs with some rackets that they can use for rentals, so that everyone, when they're first starting out, can get to see our rackets, see our name, and just see what we've got to offer, really.
Yeah, and some obviously, so brands such as Everything Paddle, who have more of an online presence as well, with Ewan, who makes the videos, all about rackets and shots and does testing, would love to incorporate with for him and other brands such as himself to obviously get reviews on our rackets, so sort of adds to the credibility behind the performance I can produce.
And we've got, I don't know if you know, do you know Paddle District, the company that we work with that put on a range of tournaments? Alvaro from Paddle District is also a coach, and he coaches using our racket. So that's been great to see, and he's also been super helpful in pushing the name and the brand. So that's been really beneficial.
Good to hear. And when you actually play paddle, because I want to get into that a little bit more. Obviously, you're using your own racket, so I'm 100% behind that. Do you
No,
actually play
I've got
together?
a bad at
I mean, if you want a 12K carbon, you have to go somewhere else for the
that.
moment. But that's just for the moment, because I know that you guys know. Again, I really appreciate your business model. Because look, a lot of people do tend to push too soon, too quickly, too big. And I think that's not necessarily the way forward in nowadays climate, because you can just like literally go bust in a matter of seconds, and you don't really want to do that. Obviously, I do see that you have bigger plans as well. So an intermediate racket won't cut it for the likes of I wanted to say me, but that's not really true, because I'm not nothing like that. But a lot of guys who are playing higher level will need to actually see a little bit more, maybe stability, a little bit more oomph, whatever. So I get where you're coming from, and I do see that. And when you said that you've been playing since for like 8 months, that's just the starters of that. How regularly do you play?
Well, we definitely play at least once a week. Obviously, when we go visit our friends, the Paddle District in Essex, I've got a few locations there. We'll play at least once or twice a week. We've obviously got our own normal busy schedule, so the weekends we always make the most of it. Because during the week we tend to do a lot of the business side of things, and focus on the growth of the business, social media, sales, all the rest.
And do you play together when you play?
So we've got a good group of us that play, and me and Jeff are probably the dominant pairing, so we are split up some of the time, but we've tried to play together as much as possible. And when we do these tournaments, if we're ever able to enter them ourselves as well, me and Jeff are the pairing for that as well, so that's always good fun.
Yeah, we tend to have to split up when we play with our friends who we're getting into the sport, because otherwise it's a bit of an unfair advantage. But I think, yeah, just the fact that we picked the sports up quite quickly as well, I think it sort of helped our case. But I don't know, a lot of our friends have played sort of similar length of time as us now, so maybe we're just
Their excuses are out the window.
yeah, there's haven't got much of an excuse anymore.
And who's on the right, who's on the left?
I'll be
Oh,
honest, we don't
we switch
people
around.
switch. I mean, I do like prefer the backhand. I'm more of a lefty myself, yeah.
Okay. So you are more of an aggressor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would get that from our chat as well. Nah, joking. So yeah, no, I guys, look, I think we sort of covered the beginning of Novor and why you came up with the idea, and I really appreciate your time. We will see each other next week, 100%, because I will be there only on a sort of a private capacity because I'm going to be playing. So no coverage of that tournament from the Padel Podcast, but I think it will be good fun. I don't know if you're planning to be out on the FIP, because there will be a FIP in the week after that in London, in Rocks Lane. There will be a FIP
Oh, nice.
tournament, so I highly recommend that, because there's going to be some amazing padel. I've been there last year and it has been something of a fireworks, so that has been amazing. So do check that one out. But guys, I wish you all the best. I think it's a great thing that you actually started your own brand. It is tough to do it, and I do 100% believe that you can pull it off. So all the best from me, and see you next week.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for your time as well. And we know it's going to be tough. We know it's going to be a challenge, but I feel like me and Ryan sort of strive off the fact of proving people wrong. So we look forward to
Good to hear. All right, chaps,
Thanks for your
take
time.
care.
It's great to come on.
Thanks
Cheers,
so much.
Dennis.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.